That's a huge statement by God, the Creator. Blessed is the one who does not stumble because all they can see is what I'm doing right now. And what he's referring to is these disciples and John himself, who's having a crisis of faith saying, why aren't you doing something different? This makes no sense. How many times have we all said that?
Jesus.
I have said that. Yeah, I have said that in my life. Martha said that, or Mary, one of them said that, if you had been here, Lord, he would not have died. Okay, babe, I came because I mean to raise him from the dead, right? And so, of course, she sees that immediately. We should really pay attention to it, because what he's saying is, don't fall down because your ways are not my ways. Trust me, even when it looks like it's going sideways.
Hi, this is Holly. Welcome to Study with Friends. This week we're in Matthew's Gospel, looking carefully at the Old Testament scriptures that Matthew uses to prove to his reader that Jesus is the promised Messiah. What a great thing for us to understand. If you want to read or hear more on this topic, go to studywithfriends.org and type Matthew in the search box. That's studywithfriends.org. I know many of you are studying along at home or with a group, so if you have questions or insights on the study, please post them on our Facebook page. We love to interact with you there, and we might even read some comments on the air. Let's look more at how Jesus is the fulfillment.
Now John's in jail. Jesus picks it up, and he's continuing the message. He is the message, and he's also delivering the message. So just a little shift I think you should see.
When John said it, did he use that exact language? Was repent, the kingdom is at hand?
Interesting question. Mm-hmm. John's baptism was what we call a baptism of repentance. So this was exactly John's message. You went into the waters of the Jordan next to John the Baptist because you were repenting. Because you believed that you had something to repent of, and the waters wash you clean. Obviously, we think of baptism now in a different way, which is an outward expression of the inward acceptance of the Holy Spirit. That's not what John's baptism was. Which is why John was like, Jesus, I can't baptize you. You have nothing to repent of. Mm-hmm. So does that make a little more sense? So yes, this was exactly John's message. Mm-hmm. Repent. A voice was crying out. Repent. That's John's message, because he's saying, you know, the kingdom is at hand. John is Jesus's forerunner. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, now Jesus picks it up and he says, yeah, repent. But the light has dawned. See yourself, people. See yourself in the light and repent.
And I think you touched on this previously. He's coming right out of the 40 days.
Here?
Yes, in Matthew.
He
talks
no.
about the temptation of Jesus, and he's coming out of the desert, right?
Oh, yes.
So some can say he was in his low before he had received.
Mm-hmm.
Where I don't know where the timeline is with John baptizing him after his jaunt in the desert.
Mm-hmm. Well, he came right out
and gotten baptized.
Mm-hmm.
So that is also the great light, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, this is a place where the paragospel would be really helpful, because you're right. In this chronology, John was arrested right away. But the chronology in, I think it must be Mark. Let me make a note on that. Okay. Online later. I kind of want to look up paragospel. So let's do that. What the heck?
Mm-hmm.
You guys okay for a minute?
Mm-hmm. Good.
Because it's like he left and he lived by the lake, which is where he was baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And John was arrested like right after that, obviously.
No.
He was arrested before that?
It was a little bit after that. Yeah, that's why I'm a little stumped on this. Hold on. Because
to fulfill what was said by the prophet, through the prophet Isaiah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to say that it is a little confusing when the gospel writers write about Jesus' ministry. They write in such a way that they go after the pieces that they want to bring out at that particular time. So we're not entirely clear on the chronology and what we think we know, which is why I'm stumped a little. Sorry, because I don't want to say the wrong thing. Hold on. Okay. So it says in Matthew 3, verse 1, in those days cometh John the Baptist and preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And it talks about John being in camel's hair and eating locusts, which you've heard. And then in Mark 1, it also talks about John baptizing. And then in Luke 3, it talks about John baptizing. And in John 1, it talks about John baptizing. And then John preaching repentance is Matthew 3, Luke 3.
Okay, so it's also, and then he says the baptism of Jesus is Matthew 3.
Mm-hmm. So you're right. It's right after that.
But it says then the temptation of Jesus. So he's baptized and then he goes into the wilderness.
I thought he was baptized after.
Well, according to Matthew.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So
he's baptized and then he goes into the wilderness. You're right. I'm wrong.
And then...
Yeah, but see, there are other pieces that are filled in mm-hmm. around there. We know that Herod snatched up John, and so that's where it gets
with Jesus.
Because John had preached against Herod taking his brother's wife. And Herod didn't like that.
Okay,
he's like, "Don't tell me what I'm doing is wrong." And John, but that's in Matthew 14.
So that's why
it feels like it's later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everything feels like all.
Yep. That's why it's a little. That's why, honestly, paragospel is the way to go. At least it shows you what's happening in each of the gospels.
Right.
Then helps you make a little bit of sense out of it. Okay. That was good.
Chronologically.
So you see my point, though, mm-hmm. is that this particular passage, Jesus was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
He heard that John was arrested, withdraws into Galilee, but he stops and he says this fulfillment,
mm-hmm.
and then he's preaching in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, repent.
He's coming outward now. Mm-hmm.
He's a little more obvious about it.
Mm-hmm. I love that Jesus, knowing, of course, what's about to happen to John, kept it moving.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, let's all join hands and pray for John. He said, John did what he came to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, because he went from that time, Jesus began to preach.
Mm-hmm.
He just kept.
Yeah, right. But you know what I love about?
He didn't stumble.
And you're right. And that's impossible for us to do, right? Like if we're in the middle of lost, that's Jesus' cousin.
I know.
That's his favorite.
Mm-hmm. Nope. That's a different John.
Oh, okay.
Also his cousin.
Different cousin, different side of the family. But
he
does tell the world how he feels about John the Baptist.
Uh-huh.
When he says, he talks about John the Baptist. So John the Baptist's disciples, John's in jail and he's having a crisis of faith himself.
Mm-hmm.
So he sends his followers. John the Baptist had his own followers.
Mm-hmm.
John sends some of his followers to find Jesus. And John the Baptist's followers say to Jesus, are you the one we were to expect or should we expect another?
Mm.
Basically what they're saying is, why is John, who loves you and his whole mm-hmm. life revolved around you and being and glorifying you, why is he rotting in jail right now? Are you the Messiah or not?
And the implicit sentiment
being, why aren't you doing anything about this? And Jesus doesn't address that. He says, and again, just you should look it up because I'm working my memory here, but he says, you go and you tell John what you've seen. The blind can see and people are healed. That's his answer.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't defend himself. He lets his work speak for itself. But then when John the Baptist's disciples leave, then he turns to the crowd and he says, I tell you, never has a better man lived than John. So he esteems him. So we know that he is passionate. Mm-hmm. Those aren't exactly the words. Do you have it, Maria?
No, I don't.
But he says, he turns to the crowd after John the Baptist's disciples. I don't know. I have it in my Bible, and I would know where it was because I've been through it, but it's on the right-hand page of, I want to say Mark, but
that's
what
I was just looking at.
And Jesus said, you know, he waits for the John the Baptist's disciples to leave, and then he says, hey, this is rough because John is great. And that's when he says, you know what, I got to look it up, because that's when he says, blessed be the one who does not fall away from God because of me. And that's a very confusing thing to say, because why would anybody fall away from Jesus Christ, fall away from God because of Jesus Christ? So let's look at it. Let's see. It's Matthew 11:14. So when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on there from there to teach and preach. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? And Jesus answered and said, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. In some other translations, in fact, this is a good thing about having digital. In some other translations, it says, blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Mm-hmm. Which is...
mine says fall away on account of me.
Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of sense does that make? Doesn't make any sense at all. But what he's saying is, blessed is the one who does not fall away because he or she is short-sighted and cannot see the big picture, can only see what I'm doing in this moment. And that's a huge statement by God, the Creator. Blessed is the one who does not stumble because all they can see is what I'm doing right now. And what he's referring to is these disciples and John himself, who's having a crisis of faith, saying, why aren't you doing something different?
Right.
This makes no sense. How many times have we all said that?
Jesus.
I have said that. Yeah, I have said that in my life. Martha said that, or Mary. One of them said that if you had been here, Lord, he would not have died.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, babe, I came because I mean to raise him from the dead.
So just sit down and watch.
Right? Yeah. And so, of course, she sees that immediately. This is cryptic what he's saying here, but we should really pay attention to it, because what he's saying is, don't fall down because your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Trust me, even when it looks like it's going sideways. John knew he was going to die. He didn't know why Jesus was going to let that happen. And I have speculated, and I don't know if I've speculated on this program or not, but I have speculated I had to teach this probably 10 years ago in a class in my church, where there was a woman whose son had recently committed suicide. And I was younger, and I prayed, God, just don't let me be offensive. That's all I could ask, is that I wouldn't offend her. But what the message is this. I speculate that God said that John the Baptist was beheaded. And God said to John the Baptist, now you come sit right here next to me and watch what I'm about to do.
Hang out for a while.
Front row seat to what God was about to do for all of time. So John stumbles because he's in prison and wonders why he's not getting out, and he's facing death. He's facing it hardcore. It's happening. He's not getting out of it, and he knows it. That's why he sent his disciples to say, are you going to help me or not? And what Jesus said is, don't stumble. Just wait.
I know, he tells us like a...
trust me.
Right. Don't be discouraged. Have faith.
I have a much bigger plan here, John. And I really imagine that God lifted John up, John the Baptist, and said, let me put you right. And then, like when you're with your toddler and you put him on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. I remember Greg, when we went to Disney the first time with Gianna, she was, I don't know, she must have been three. And the parade was happening. He put her right up on his shoulders so she could see that parade. Mm-hmm. You know, would she have rather be among the legs where she couldn't mm-hmm. see anything? And this is kind of the same idea mm-hmm. that John the Baptist had to die. You got it right, Jan. You said he did what he came to do. When you've come and done what you came to do, it's time to go home. That's hard. But John had, and John was blessed that he didn't have to watch his Jesus go through that misery. Mm-hmm. He went to heaven, he saw the big picture, and he had a front row seat. So this is, of course, you know, just me looking at the scripture and feeling what I'm feeling from that. That was very hard for me to teach that night mm-hmm. when a woman whose son committed suicide. But the truth is the truth. His ways are not our ways. Mm-hmm. Things can often look like they are not going right.
Did he and John, because he and John the Baptist, mm-hmm. knew each other in the womb.
Well, that's right. Yeah, right. That was the baby that jumped in Elizabeth's right. stomach when so
they,
Mary came.
They knew each other. They recognized mm-hmm. each other.
I imagine them playing as children together.
Mm-hmm. Was that,
that's all imagination. That's in pencil, not Sharpie.
Was that the longest relationship Jesus had?
I mean.
With John the Baptist.
A human relationship?
Human relationship.
Well, now you're asking me a very theological question because...
You don't have to answer it now. I just wonder.
But you, yeah, I mean, because he's the firstborn, and she stayed with Elizabeth mm-hmm. while she was pregnant. Yeah, I mean.
The longest. So
yeah, that would have been a beloved family member.
A beloved relationship. Yeah. So his heart had to break, mm-hmm. but he kept his eyes on.
Yep. And that's why I love what he said. Now, this is what I was saying a few minutes ago before I had the scripture in front of me. So let me say it better now that I do. Excuse me. As they went, okay, so blessed is the one who is not offended by me. So he's talking to the disciples of John the Baptist. Then the next verse says, as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds mm-hmm. concerning John. So I find it fascinating that he waited for the disciples to leave. Mm-hmm. He didn't even give John that small gratification of letting the disciples hear him say what he said to the crowd. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? He's referring to John. A reed shaken by the wind. But what then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing. Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in the king's house. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way for you. In this verse 11 is Jesus's heart. Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Mm. So he's like, don't you imagine, here again in pencil, not Sharpie, don't you imagine mm-hmm. he's heartbroken because he has to send those friends of John the Baptist away, not giving them the news that they wanted, mm-hmm. maybe even not giving the news that he would have liked to give. But for the purposes of God the Father, he sends them on their way. And a hard lesson is learned by all, if we're listening. Blessed is he who doesn't stumble because I have hard choices to make, says Jesus. Hard choices, but you have to trust me to make them. You have to know who I am, know how much I love you, and let me make those choices and love me anyway. Let me love you anyway. That's hard. And I'll say again, if I didn't know God intimately and personally, the way that I have learned to love him in large part through the Old Testament, the character of God, the person of God, then the hard times when I sit in darkness and I need a light to dawn on me, it would be hard because I have to know that I know that I know his plan for me is good. Because mm-hmm. doesn't always look good. Sometimes it looks really, really bad. And it feels really bad. And that's how John felt, I'm sure. He knew that Jesus raised Lazarus. He knew Jesus was capable. He knew full well who Jesus Christ was. Maybe he was the only one, and sometimes, that knew, who really knew. Because we know the disciples were often oblivious. Mary and Martha, often oblivious. But John the Baptist knew, and why would, you know, that's rough.
Mm-hmm. He always knew.
From in the womb.
In the womb.
Mm-hmm. They had a very special connection. Mm. So
a blessing and a burden.
Mm.
It had to be a blessing and a burden to know what he knew.
Mm-hmm.
And he too was rejected.
And you know, Jesus takes advantage of this as a what we call a teachable moment. So we all three here have children, and we know sometimes a hard thing can
That's
be
exactly
a teachable
where I
moment.
Went. Mm-hmm.
And so he says, truly I say to you, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So he's spinning even that into a lesson. He's saying, all are welcome. You're all precious to me. The least will be the greatest. The greatest will be the least. And he uses that very difficult moment, you would imagine, to say new lessons, which are lessons for another day. So let's look at this passage again and just absorb what Jesus is doing in the context of John being arrested and Jesus starting his path towards the cross. Hi, it's Holly again. I'm so thankful for the ways God's word helps me to know him and to know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week in every situation. In Matthew 10, Jesus was sending out his disciples to preach the word, and he instructed them with this command, "Freely you have received, freely give." We think that applies to us here at Study with Friends, so we have created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you missed any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there to listen free and on demand. Or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free to use and print. That's studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we are also 100% donor supported. So if you're particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful to us, and no amount is too small. If you're thinking about, oh, I only have a little bit, if you feel moved to give it, we would be grateful to have it, and we will thank you greatly for that. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That is really always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time. We study with friends.